Agenda item number six. This is a time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region. Consider adoption of proposed order number R1-2018-0007, modifying the cease and desist order number R1-2012-0102 for the Occidental County Sanitation District Wastewater Treatment Facility. This item has been properly noticed. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath? Do you swear and affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Fantastic. And I believe we had Ms. Kathleen Goodwin. If anybody wants to speak on this matter, please fill out a speaker card.
Just making sure I know how to use this. I haven't done this for so long.
Yeah, we haven't seen you for a while, Kathy.
Yeah.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, okay, everything's working. So good morning, Chairman Noren and members of the board. My name is Kathleen Goodwin, staff to the regional board, and I'll be giving the staff presentation this morning regarding the proposed modification of cease and desist order number R1-2012-0102 for the Occidental Wastewater Treatment Facility. And at this time, I would like to enter the file into the record. And in your agenda package this morning, you have the Executive Officer's Summary Report, as well as Modification Order number R1-2018-0007, which contains the underlying strikeout format showing the changes that are being proposed to the 12,000 or the 2012 cease and desist order. So during my presentation, I'm going to give you a brief overview of the wastewater treatment facility and the history of permitting and enforcement, followed by a description of the proposed modification that you're being asked to consider this morning. The purpose of today's hearing is to consider adoption of a modified cease and desist order for the Occidental Wastewater Facility. We are not considering any changes to the existing NPDES permit today. This item was noticed on our website beginning January 24th and complied with the 10-day noticing requirement. So there are no written comments. Public testimony will be received during the hearing today. So this map is here to give you some orientation of where Occidental is, or where the Occidental Wastewater Facility is. It's located right here at this red star, about 16 miles from Santa Rosa. This blue star here shows the location of our office and Highway 101 features that all of you are familiar with. This slide shows the town of Occidental right here, the wastewater treatment facility, Grants Pond, which is their effluent storage pond, and then their dry weather and wet weather disposal areas. And then let's see here. So the north arrow is here, and then we've got Occidental Road kind of comes through these trees, and Grayton Road coming down into Occidental. The lift station that pumps wastewater from town is just off this slide and pumps it up to the treatment plant. And treated wastewater is discharged year-round to Grams Pond right here, which is a 10 million gallon reservoir that was constructed at the headwaters of Dutch Bill Creek. Originally, it was designed for use as an agricultural pond. During the dry season, effluent is used to irrigate this pasture area. And during the wet season, anytime between October 1st and May 14th, effluent can be discharged to a drainage that leads to Dutch Bill Creek, which again is a tributary to the Russian River. And this slide shows the Occidental Wastewater Treatment Facility. It's a small facility that is designed to treat a dry weather flow up to 50,000 gallons per day. In fact, the typical dry weather flow is closer to 10,000 gallons per day, and typical monthly average wet weather flows are closer to that design flow of 50,000 gallons per day. The plant provides secondary treatment in a pond system and includes chlorination and dechlorination. So here we see the aeration pond, the settling pond, and in the back, these dark tanks are their chlorination tanks. The facility also provides pH adjustment and dechlorination of the final effluent before discharge to Graham's Pond. There are about 70 connections to the sewer system, so about half of the flows are residential, and the other half are primarily commercial flows from restaurants in town. The treatment system is owned by the Occidental County Sanitation District and operated by the Sonoma County Water Agency. So for the rest of my presentation, I'll refer to these two entities as the permittee. So this slide shows Graham's Pond. Regional Board staff analysis determined that Graham's Pond is a water of the United States due to its construction at the headwaters of and hydraulic connectivity to Dutchville Creek. In addition to the year-round flow of effluent to this pond, it also receives wet weather flows from the hillsides and several small drainages that come down into the pond. During heavy rainfall, it can sometimes be difficult for the permittee to control releases from Graham's Pond because of the amount of stormwater that comes into it. So this photo was taken from a dike that I'm standing on here. And if we turn around, this is the view. And it shows the drainage channel that controlled and uncontrolled flows go into, as well as the irrigation pasture that receives the effluent. And this, both the property that Graham's Pond and the irrigation field are on are privately owned and leased to Occidental CSD. So before I discuss the action before you today, I'd like to talk a bit about the compliance challenges at this facility. And those include some of the things on this slide. The pond-based treatment plant was constructed in the 1970s, so it's quite old, and is not able to meet current regulatory requirements. The water quality control plan for the North Coast region, our basin plan, includes a seasonal discharge prohibition that limits discharges to the Russian River and its tributaries to the period of October 1 through May 14th. As I mentioned previously, discharges at this facility are occurring year-round to Graham's Pond, which is a water of the U.S., so that is in violation of the basin plan. In 1986, the basin plan was amended to require advanced wastewater treatment for all municipal wastewater discharges to the Russian River and its tributaries. And this facility currently provides only secondary treatment and needs costly upgrades to achieve tertiary treatment. The permittee has encountered numerous challenges in its quest to identify a capital improvement project to make it fully compliant with all permit requirements. The challenges have included finding a project that is affordable to a small ratepayer base, the remoteness of the community in relation to other communities and wastewater treatment facilities, and the hilly terrain that limits the land area available for wastewater treatment and disposal. I'd also like to give you some of the permitting and enforcement history. It's a long, complex history that dates back to 1993. The permittee has been under cease and desist orders since 1997 to address violations of waste discharge requirements. The cease and desist orders have required the permittee to identify and complete a long-term capital improvement project to either upgrade the facility to advanced wastewater treatment or to cease discharges to surface waters. The permittee has evaluated various projects, including a subsurface disposal system, upgrades to include advanced wastewater treatment, and a pipeline to Guerneville. During the CEQA process for each of these projects, they were determined to be financially and or technically infeasible. So although a long-term solution has not been completed to date, I'd like to talk to you about some of the things that the permittee has done. They've done some interim compliance projects to improve wastewater treatment until a long-term solution is fully implemented. Interim projects that have been implemented to date include pH and chlorine control. They've dredged sludge from ponds to increase capacity for treatment. Baffles have been installed in the aeration pond to improve treatment. And a large portion of the collection system has been replaced. There have also been five administrative civil liability actions between 1997 and 2015, assessing penalties for violations of permit requirements, including effluent limitation violations and unauthorized discharges. The total penalty amount assessed to date has been just over $500,000. And a little over $95,000 of that has been paid to the state cleanup and abatement account, with the remaining amount being put towards compliance projects, which I mentioned on the previous slide, and supplemental environmental project that involved removing trash and debris from the Laguna de Santa Rosa watershed. So now, with this slide, I'd like to just focus on the enforcement history since 2012, since that's what's most pertinent to the action before you today. In 2012, the regional board adopted a new permit because the prior permit was almost 20 years old and very, very much out of date with regulations. The 2012 permit made a number of significant changes in relation to the prior permit that was in 1993. And those changes include identifying Graham's Pond, the effluent storage pond, as a water of the U.S., requiring the permittee, it also required the permittee to meet more stringent effluent limits for discharges to surface waters, and that includes Graham's Pond and Dutchville Creek. So at that time, the regional board also adopted cease and desist order number 2012-0102 in order to give the permittee time to comply and implement a capital improvement project to comply with the seasonal discharge prohibition and the more stringent effluent limitations. The compliance schedule in the CDO required compliance within a five-year period because that's what's required by the Water Code. However, the Water Code also allows for possible extensions up to 5 years if the discharger demonstrates to the regional board that they took all reasonable steps to achieve compliance in 5 years. So we're leaning on this allowance in the Water Code in the action that you're being asked to take today. The cease and desist order also includes interim effluent limits and protection of mandatory protection from mandatory penalties. The permittee has made significant progress towards complying with the 2012 CDO compliance schedule. The permittee sequentially worked on planning and design for three different projects, and those are listed on this slide here. So the first one that has been worked on since 2012 was a water recycling project that was intended to bring them to zero discharge to surface waters. And that project was eliminated due to public opposition. So after that project was eliminated, the permittee came to regional board staff and notified us that they intended to evaluate a project to truck raw sewage to another wastewater treatment facility. That was a way to ensure that they would meet compliance within the compliance schedule in the 2012 CDO. During the environmental review process, the next project they looked at was to truck that water to Guerneville Wastewater Plant. And during the environmental review process, that was eliminated due to Guerneville ratepayer opposition. So in December 2017, the permittee submitted a written request for an extension of the compliance schedule to complete a project to truck the raw wastewater to the airport wastewater treatment facility. The permittee has completed the CEQA process and has certified their environmental document. They've also submitted 100% design plans and bid documents for the project. Construction is to commence by March 31st, 2018. Some trucking has already begun. And the 9-month extension that you're being asked to consider will provide the time needed to fully implement this trucking project. So this map is the same one I showed at the beginning. This time I just want to show where Occidental is. Oops, sorry about that. In relation to the airport treatment facility, which is right across from our office. So here's Occidental at the Red Star, and here's where the airport wastewater treatment plant is. So the trucking distance is approximately 16 miles. So that brings me to talking about the action that you're being asked to take today. As I mentioned at the beginning of this presentation, the purpose of today's hearing is to consider adoption of a modified version of the 2012 cease and desist order for the Occidental Wastewater Treatment Facility. The details of the modification are presented in proposed modification order number R1-2018-0007. The modifications include three primary changes to the CDO that the board adopted in 2012, and I'd like to go over those with you right now. So the first change is an extension of the date for compliance with final effluent limits from January 31st, 2018 to July 31st, 2018. And the permittee's proposed project will achieve this requirement by ceasing all wastewater discharges to Graham's Pond with the truck when the trucking is fully implemented. The second change is that the compliance schedule for completion of a capital improvement project has been extended from January 31st to actually October 1st, 2018. I didn't catch that error. And then a requirement is included for the permittee to revise its pollution prevention plan to include a plan for operational improvements that will remove pollutants that have accumulated in Dutch Bill Creek watershed as a result of the long-term effluent discharges. The proposed CDO modification also retains the interim effluent limits and protection from mandatory penalties that were in the 2012 order. So with that concludes my presentation. And at this point, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. And then it would be staff's recommendation to open the hearing for public comments. then to adopt the proposed modification order number R1-2018-007. And I just want to point out that only the modifications identified in that modification order are open to public comment today. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy.
One question I have. So the update to the a revision to the pollution prevention plan, is there an end date on that? Is there a compliance date for that?
Yes. It needs to be the proposal needs to be submitted by June 1st, 2018.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Giusti.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Very thorough and thoughtful. A couple points for clarification for me. Is the long-range plan to omit the use of the pond year-round?
Of Graham's Pond?
Uh-huh.
Yes, that is what's been presented to us.
And that will happen by sometime in the near future when the trucking arrangement is finalized?
Correct. Once they're fully implementing trucking, which they have to do, if you adopt this modification today, they'll be required to fully implement the trucking by July 31st, 2018 in order to be compliant.
So that means even during the dry season, the pond will not be used. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. From that point on,
perfect.
They will not be putting any effluent into Graham's Pond.
Thank you. And one last question. Trucking or transportation of raw sewage or any material has some inherent risks. 16 miles on curvy mountainous roads. Is there any kind of contingency plan if there should be some kind of spill along that 16-mile contingency or response, emergency response plan, if there should be some accident along that 16-mile trip when the truck is loaded? Is that a requirement? Or has anyone given any thought to that?
Thought has been given to that. It was addressed in the permittee's CEQA documents, and it was an issue that regional board staff raised in our comment letters on the trekking projects, you know, emphasizing the need for contingency planning in the event of any spills. And
do you recall the response that you got?
The water agency has a contingency planning document, and I don't have all the details about that today, but they do have one.
And we don't need the details, but are you and your other colleagues comfortable with that contingency plan? Have you seen it, or are you just going on their word that they've developed one?
I have not reviewed all the details of that plan, but I know that the agency has had a very detailed contingency plan that they have implemented, you know, over the years.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And to be clear, Kathy, this project was actually adopted through or put forth and had CEQA review through a county review process. It was not a separate project that came through this agency. As you indicated, this agency staff responded to CEQA comments based on this project.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. The project, the CEQA document was certified through the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors. You know, so we do not select the project. You know, we can't tell them how to comply. We can tell them what they need to comply with, and then the project was proposed, you know, by another agency, and had to meet all requirements. You know, both our requirements as well as other regulatory requirements, you know, related to transportation and other aspects of the project.
Other comments or questions? I have to say that, you know, in the spirit of Bill Massey, who is the champion of the small system, these small systems are expensive and difficult to maintain. They're hard to upgrade with a small ratepayer base. They become complicated greatly when you have Waters of the U.S., and I have some sympathy for this. At the same time, this has been under CDO, as you indicate, for quite a long time. I fully aware and realize that there has been efforts to try to find projects to comply or means and methods to comply with the requirements of the CDO. And as you indicated, those projects, for various reasons, did not occur. So this project, as before us today, then, is a trucking project to, I assume, go on into the future until modified otherwise by the agency or the sanitation district.
That would be correct. I think that, there's interest on all sides to remain open to a project, finding a project where they could treat the wastewater there in Occidental, perhaps as technologies change and maybe they'll find a more affordable solution. But in the meantime, this is the plan that they've put forth.
Yeah. Can you do me a favor? Can you shut off that light right there? It's just blaring in my eyes. Thank you so much. It is a bright light. Hector, you got to speak in the mic.
Have neighboring properties been evaluated for potential spray field expansions?
Out in Occidental?
Yeah.
That was part of the evaluation for some of the projects that I mentioned that they have looked at.
Okay.
Let's do this. Any other questions up here? Let's do this. You have some speaker cards? Can I ask, too, that we start the time accounting with the great. All right, I have two speaker cards. Let's go in this order. Brenda Edelman first, followed by Pam Jean.
Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I've been tracking.
I'm sorry, Brenda. Chair Noren, I believe if the, it's up to your election, but typically.
Did I get out of order?
Well, not out of order, but if the permittee is here, typically they would speak first and then
follow. Forgive me.
That's fine.
Sorry, Pam. It was just the roll of the dice. I just kind of went that way, so I apologize. All right, let me back up.
I was
Our first
totally
speaker would
fine
be Ms. Pam
that.
Jean from the Sonoma County Water Agency.
Sorry to hear what I would say.
It was all good.
I figure I might end up back up here after she speaks anyway, so I could actually address it maybe while I was here in the first place. Yes, my name is Pam Jean, Assistant General Manager of Water and Wastewater Operations at the Sonoma County Water Agency. And I'm just going to be super brief. I just really want to thank you for your consideration of this. I know that this has been a long haul. You heard from Kathy about all the trials and tribulations out there, and you have been abundantly patient, and I really, really appreciate that. And secondly, I really want to thank your staff. They've been super flexible and really, really responsive, and I really appreciate them taking the time, because this is a lot of work to put this together to get this in front of you today. And it's really important to the district that this is happening today. We have, as Kathy indicated, started hauling. I actually happened to be out there yesterday looking at the changes that they had made at the lift station facility where they're hauling from, and one of the hauling trucks came along, and I got to see them load it. I got to see how they were doing it. They're being very careful, and we do have a staff member who's out there making sure that things are going well with regards to that. And so I felt really good after seeing that yesterday, that I was a little concerned about it, as you probably are, because hauling is not an eloquent solution, but it's the solution that we have for right now. We don't hope that it's the permanent solution. It's not typical of our agency to do a project like this, and we will continue to look for a more permanent solution into the future.
Well, along those lines, for one thing, Pam, can you affirm that you have a robust and well-thought contingency plan for spills?
Yeah, we have a pretty good spill response plan. Great. At the water agency. We do a lot of different kind of hauling of different things. So not just water, but, all sorts of solid materials as well as liquid materials. And so we have a pretty good spill response plan that is updated very frequently.
Yeah, great.
So.
And by the way, too, I would affirm and encourage that, you know, trucking water, trucking wastewater like this, for one thing, if Occidental went through a period of growth, just for say, and you had increasing effluent volumes here, trucking seems like it's an expensive and archaic way to treat water up on the hill. At the same time, I would just put a plug in and say I think that there's creative options potentially that we could gather some of the West County issues on wastewater. And
we agree.
And maybe Occidental can be just part of that move.
Yeah, and I think we proposed something many years ago, over a couple of decades ago at this point, and I think we were just a little too far on the cutting edge at that point. So I think it will probably come up again in terms of sort of a West County type of a solution.
Sure.
We have heard from Grayton, the Grayton Community Services District, that they might be interested in accepting this wastewater instead of hauling it to the airport. That would cut the travel time about in half, or the travel distance about in half, and it would provide some, they're another very small district that has a very small rate base, it would provide them with some additional ratepayers and some additional revenue that would help them be able to move forward with some projects that they'd like to move forward with. So we haven't, there's nothing finalized, but we have heard from them that they might be interested in that. So.
Great. Look forward to hearing any of that. Questions for Pam Jean? Great. Thank you, Pam. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
Very much. All right, Brenda, second time's a charm today. Sorry about that, by the way.
Oh, no problem. Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I've been tracking the Occidental situation since 1995, when the water agency took over, and I've been involved in a number of the previous solutions. I chose not to respond to the EIR on this one because, mainly being sensitive to the dilemma that time was really running out and that it's been a long haul for a long time. There was one parcel that was considered seriously about 15, 20 years ago in the Occidental area that had controversial opinions. There were experts on both sides. Some thought that it would work well. It was referred to as the Ajo property. And then other people felt that it wouldn't be adequate. But, you know, maybe that could be revisited. I don't know. But I do have concerns, as everyone else has expressed so far, about the trucking issue. One of the biggest concerns has to be in the winter time when it's raining really hard. That's when they will have to deal with maybe as many as 14, 15 trucks a day on these narrow, dangerous roads that are not always in good shape and could be a danger to the public in terms of the traffic and whatnot under those conditions. So I think Pam was talking about looking at other possibilities down the road. But I, too, was concerned about, you know, the plan to assure that this can be a safe project. I think people in the community have concerns about it and would like to know for sure that there is a plan and how to keep it very safe. And that's basically, I just wanted to add my comments to that concern.
Well, thank you, Brenda. You've been a consistent participant in the dialogue here. So maybe it comes back around and we all get a second or third swing at this one. It also gets me thinking, by the way, about all the waste, the septic haulers running around the county with trucks and their 5,000 or 3,000 gallon loads of high strength wastewater. And I just, outside of this, it just kind of gets me thinking about them for a minute. All right. Any other comments, questions? Any other comments from the audience? All right, then what we have before us is a modification of the cease and desist order from R1-2012-012. The modifying order is R1-2018-0007. Entertain a motion.
I'll move we adopt the modifying order R1-2018-007.
Second. Patty, would you please call the roll?
Aye.
Chairman
Norton. Aye.
Board Member Bedoya.
Aye.
Board Member
Juski. Aye. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for staff. I know that was a short turnaround. Thank you Sonoma County Water Agency and the district for your work. Thank you, Brenda, and the community at large. I'm sure this will come back in one way or another. Great. Thank you. Fantastic. All right, we're going to move on. Do we need a break at all for a minute? Okay, I think we have a great item coming up. I think we are ready.
Eight or seven?
Sorry?